see the curtains hanging in the window in the evening of a Friday night.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. As the whole world is watching Washington, D.C. this morning, I just got done listening to President Trump depart from Joint Base Andrews and go to Florida. As several hours from now, about 3 hours from now, we're going to have a new president in the White House. We still have other news going on, and here locally, the City Council in Gulf Breeze met last night, and so we usually like to have Sam Abel. She is the city manager for Gulf Breeze on the morning after. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. So we got a lot of stuff to cover with you, but one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, I guess, in the delegation meeting, which I did not – there were so many meetings simultaneously last night. It kind of irritated me because I can't watch them all at the same time. But one of the things – I guess there was something with the gas district that came up in this meeting?
Yes, very interesting. So at the Escambia delegate meeting, which was held at Pensacola State College, you had some – fairly heavy representation from Santa Rosa County, more than normal, because we're listening to our delegates talk about the expansion of Okaloosa Gas District, knowing that this Thursday the conversation would be brought to Santa Rosa County. Andrew, it was interesting because the topic on the agenda just before Okaloosa Gas Executive Director took the podium related to, of course, Emil Coast Utility Authority and the bill put forth by Representative Salzman to try to bring in the reins, improve transparency, improve accountability, because with that, you know, regional utility, obviously there was a grand jury report related to, you know, just a board that was so separate from its ratepayers that things happened that shouldn't, and it, you know, obviously affected rates and drove costs up. And so it's just a reminder once again, Andrew, that your government that's closest to the people is the most responsive for the people.
Right.
It's very important for transparency, especially as it relates to those basic life utilities, that we all pay close attention to these issues. So Okaloosa Special Gas District was created in the 50s. And interestingly, the composition of their board is comprised of representatives from the four major cities in Okaloosa and one kind of at-large Okaloosa commissioner.
Okay.
And so they have the ability, not the exclusivity, but they have the ability to provide gas outside of Okaloosa County. They are the wholesale gas provider for Gulf Breeze Natural Gas and, I believe, for Milton Natural Gas.
Okaloosa County, a public utility,
yes,
provides the natural gas supply to Milton and Gulf Breeze?
It is. It's actually a special district,
huh,
Andrew. If you think about like a community redevelopment area,
yeah,
the legislature in the late 50s, and then it was the district was amended, I think, again in 2000. But it granted it the ability to operate outside of its county.
Okay.
And obviously the reason to do that is to encourage, you know, an existing natural gas provider to provide service in rural areas that are underserved. So we certainly understand that. But what happens when you have an area that already has service? And so when that special district was created, the areas around Milton and the areas around Gulf Breeze were carved out because it's most economical for our existing gas utilities to provide gas within that region. So we've continued to grow, let's say Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. We add about 190 customers a year. We have a growth rate of about 2.5%. We add about 190 new gas customers a year. You know, we're paying as we go. Okaloosa Gas, it's interesting, there has been a shift. And so what you're seeing is there's transmission lines that are reaching up to the Whiting Industrial Park, to areas of Milton, and what Milton is saying is that they're now competing with Okaloosa Gas, who is running redundant lines. And we've just woken up to this issue ourselves, Andrew, because we're now experiencing the same in the eastern area of our territory. And we think the light bulb went off last night. It could be that because there is a push for Okaloosa to provide the underserved areas of North Santa Rosa, like
uh-huh,
the area north of Milton and north of Escambia, well, obviously that's going to be a cost-losing proposition.
Right.
So how are they going to absorb that cost? And so what you're seeing is the expansion on the south end, where the growth is assured, and there's a competition for customers. So Representative Alex Andrade did a great job, you know, last night just asking those questions. You know, are you running redundant lines? Are you competing for customers where there's already service provision? And how is that in the best interest of ratepayers? So that will be interesting as that bill unfolds. It was interesting, Andrew, that those two agenda items were back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, one, you have our legislature trying to rein in the ECUA, and then with the other, you have our legislature working with Okaloosa Gas District. Of course, we understand, you know, those rural areas need service provision, but
right.
demand usually is what drives supply. You don't obviously put in the infrastructure on the backs of existing ratepayers and then hope one day that the area builds. So,
well, and also, as you,
as you say,
kind of taking from the fact that somebody else is already providing in order to pay for the lien that you're trying to expand to. I mean, I get it from their perspective, but as you say, if the point is to make, you know, people who already don't have service, that's one thing, but if you're taking away direct accountability because you're providing service out of the area where they can't vote for these people, that does create certainly a political problem, at least in my mind. So that's very interesting problem. Hey, Sam, before we let you go, I did want to ask you real quick. We've just got a second, but you're watching the bridge. Obviously, we're all very eager to see. I noticed, by the way, that the updates from FDOT put the completion at the end of March, as far as I can read the graphic, rather than the middle of March. But do you have, I mean, are you confident? Where do you stand on what you think is going to happen here when that bridge is going to get reopened?
Well, mark this down, Andrew. Mark it down. You are hearing a Gulf Breeze city official compliment FDOT. and we mean it most sincerely. Throughout the repair of the bridge, their communication on social media, on their website, and then with drone footage and with their GATS chart, they really are providing very detailed information to our citizenry. So I just encourage anybody to go to mypensacolabaybridge.com and check out those updates. But consistently, FDOT has said the end of March. And so I think that that message may have gotten, you know, muddied somewhere else. But I like to always quote the source. And consistently from their charts, we're looking at the end of March. Of course, Mayor Fitch and other elected, you know, representatives meet with FDOT and, you know, the contractors every other week by Zoom. And so they're asking those really hard questions, getting really into the minutia. Senator Brockman is also part of those Zoom meetings. So we feel, based on the information that we're getting, which, again, is extremely detailed, that FDOT feels confident. We know they have a lot to lose. You know, there's credibility with the agency as well as cost. And so the end of March, we're all holding out for. Andrew, interesting, I spoke with the city administrator, Keith Wilkins, for Pensacola yesterday, and we were talking about our sales tax. And one silver lining I do want to say is that there has been such local support for our local businesses that even with the bridge being out, even with Pensacola Beach being hit, the city of Gulf Breeze, our sales tax is about right on line with where it was last year.
That is amazing. And I saw your deputy administrator was on Channel 3 last night saying that same thing. Well, that's very, very surprising and impressive and great for the locals. Well, Sam, if you say you think they're on track and it looks like all signs are there, I will optimistically hope for that outcome. When I'm driving the bridge is when I'll be convinced, and I think we all will. Sam Abel, she is the city administrator for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, thanks so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.